Outbreak of Fear, a thriller serial in five parts by R.D. Wingfield, with Leslie Sands as Sergeant Fowler and Nick Orchard as Constable Roy Beaumont. Part 3, Triple Murder.
I was hoping we'd be able to look in on the old graveyard while it was still light. I've got a thing about graveyards. But it was not to be. On our return to the station, two more angry fishermen awaited us to report someone had smashed their boats.
It's a blasted epidemic. How many boats is it now?
11, Sarge.
There can't be many more left.
So what do we do about it?
Mr. Chadwick says we're to stick it on the pending file. We got more important things to worry about.
By the time we typed up our reports and had a meal, it was close on 10 o'clock. There was no moon. The graveyard was in darkness.
Waste of time, Sarge. Old Joe Hardy's been on the mess again, if you ask me.
Mr. Chadwick thinks it's important, therefore it is important, Constable.
Blimey, these gates are enough to put the wind up anyone's sails. You don't look too happy, Beaumont. Where's that little roguish schmuck?
Yeah, well, I've got a thing about graveyards, Sarge. Where's the vault?
Right ahead of us. There.
Shall I knock, Sarge?
Very funny. Shine your torch on the lock.
You can see what the vicar meant. That's brand new. And damn strong. Here, reckon you can open it, Sarge?
Never found one to beat me yet. Get your big head out the way, then.
Where'd you get all those keys?
Never you mind. I've acquired them over the years. Ah, this one's doing it. Well, give us a hand. I expect the hinges are rusted rock.
Right.
That's very smooth.
Someone's oiled the hinges. Well, who's going down first? As black as the ace of spades down there.
Want to volunteer, Beaumont?
You're all right.
Good boy.
This torch don't throw out much light. There's another door.
It won't be locked.
God.
He dropped the torch. Stay there, Beaumont. We're coming.
You all right?
I saw a face.
Where?
There.
Hellfire.
But it wasn't a living face. The beam of Clark's torch picked out a grinning human skull perched on top of a coffin lid. It was yellow with age and discoloured with something that looked like blood. Flanking the skull were two obscenely shaped black candles.
Devil worship. There's empty wine bottles all over the place.
Hey, look at this, Sarge.
Part of the floor was strewn with items of underwear. Female underwear. Flame-coloured. Some of it torn, as if it had been ripped off in a frenzy of passion.
Someone's been having an orgy. Now, why didn't I take up black magic? I never knew they got up at lax like this.
We'll be in the Sunday papers next.
Put that torch out.
Coming this way.
Yeah.
Sounds like two of them.
Either side of that door. When they're inside, grab them. No!
Oh, don't me!
You got them?
Yes,
Sergeant.
Then let's see who they are.
Not in my eyes, Sergeant.
Pete Carter and Eric Farrow. All right, you two. What's your game?
Our game? What's your game, Sergeant? That's more to the point. We see lights flickering in the old graveyard. We think it might be this boat-wrecking maniac killer, so we do our public duty and investigate. And what happens?
We're assaulted by public servants.
What are you doing down here at this time of night, anyway?
If you must know, Sergeant, assuming it's any of your rotten business, we've been having a little drinky in the pub. We should be out in the boats fishing, but our boats have been smashed up, and the police do nothing about it.
We've a lot on our plates at the moment, Pete. How's Sarah? Shouldn't you be with her?
Why?
There's been two deaths, Pete. Your house is all on its own out there, and you know how nervous she gets.
Sarah will be all right. She's got the place locked, bolted and barred like a ruddy fortress. And our dog will tear the throat out of anyone if she gives the word. He'd terrify that old oil geologist, your geologist chap, it did.
Aldridge?
When did he call at your place?
Day before yesterday. Wanted some water.
Your dog didn't bite his eye out, did it?
Of course it didn't. He was all right when he left our place. Intact.
You won't be intact when Sarah knows you've been drinking. Now get back home and mind how you go. We haven't caught this bloke yet.
Oh, he better not try anything on us. We're ready for it, aren't we, Pig?
You'll have to pick up the pieces, Sergeant. Come on,
Eric. Come on. Lock up. Let's go home.
Sergeant Fowler!
All right. All right. I'm coming.
Who is it?
It's me, Mitchell. Open up.
It's 2:30 in the morning. Who have you got there?
Mrs. Farrow. Help me with her.
I'll take her feet. Now, through here, on the settee, switch on the light. Mrs. Farrow. What's up with her?
She's out cold. I think she's in shock.
Shock? She's not in shock. There's blood all over her. What do you do, knock her over as well?
No!
Hello, Doc. Yes, I do know the time. Can you pop across right away? I've got Eric Farrow's wife here. She's unconscious and bleeding badly. Doc. Right, Mr. Mitchell. What happened?
It isn't her blood. There's no mark on her.
Eh? You're right. It's on her coat. So what happened? Cigarette?
No, thanks. I was running back to my place in the van.
At 2:00 in the morning?
Yes, Sergeant, at 2:00 in the morning. As far as I know, there's no curfew in force.
Okay, go on.
I was on the coast road, just passing Lancing Cove, when I saw her. Smack in the middle of the road.
In the middle of the road?
Swaying as if she was about to collapse. I just managed to catch her before she fell. She kept muttering something about police. Must get to the police. Then she passed out.
Then what?
I got her into the van and brought her straight here. That's it. Nothing more I can tell you.
You can tell me what you were doing out at 2:00 in the morning.
Whatever I was doing, Sergeant, is my business and no concern of yours. Now, if it's all right with you, I'm tired. I want to go home.
Certainly, sir. Thank you for your cooperation. Perhaps you'd cooperate further and let the doctor in on your way out. And good night.
Doctor, there's Fowler in there. He wants to see you.
Fowler!
Come
on!
Yeah, what is it?
Get dressed and come down here, now!
Oh, what's all the yelling?
Oh, why should he sleep through all this? There's your patient, Doc. Seems to be out cold.
How did she get here?
She was staggering along the coast road. Mitchell spotted her.
What was he doing out at that time of the morning?
Apparently, that's none of my business. I'd love to know.
This isn't her blood.
Yes, we worked that out. It's all over her coat. What kept you?
Do you know what time it is?
No, Beaumont. That's why I woke you up, so you could tell me.
Who's this?
Mrs. Farrow. Eric Farrow's wife. Any chance of bringing her round, Doc? We've got to find out what's happened.
Mrs. Farrow? Mrs. Farrow? No, it's all right. Take it easy.
Please. Please.
Mrs. Farrow, this is Sergeant Fowler. You're at the police house. Now, what happened?
Blood. There was blood. He's dead. Do you hear me? He's dead.
Who's dead, Mrs. Farrow?
Straight to the Farrow place then, Sarge.
Where else?
Oh, I thought you might want to pick up Mr. Chadwick first.
Chadwick? I've had all of him I can take for one day. Thank you very much.
Car coming, Sarge.
I think that's Chadwick. What's he doing out at this time of night? Hello, sir. Bit late for you to be out, isn't it?
We don't work office hours in the CID, Sergeant. Where do you think you're going?
We were just on our way to the pub to collect you, sir, actually.
Oh, what's the problem?
Oh, nothing we can't handle, sir, if you'd rather go to bed. Woman called Farrow in hysterics. Can't get any sense out of her. We're worried that something might have happened to her husband.
Where do they live?
Ooh, some way out.
Right. You lead, I'll follow.
Aye, aye, skipper. All right, Clarky, put your foot down. See if you can't lose him, eh? You heard, lose him. Loudmouth fool.
feed the high-speed stuff to Stirling Moss next time, Constable. You nearly lost me back there.
Sorry, sir. I told you to slow down, Constable.
Yes, Sergeant. Oh, it's freezing. How do people live in these godforsaken places? Anybody in? It's locked. Someone try the back.
I've tried it, her. Locked and bolted.
All right, Constable. Kick it in.
Right, sir.
Ah, done it.
As the front door swung back, we braced ourselves for what we might see inside. We saw a cozy little room lit by the flames of a coal fire. By the curtain window, covered with a blue and white cloth, the table was laid for one. There was no blood. There was no body. There was no Eric Farrow.
Nothing upstairs, Sarge.
And nothing down here.
You overreacted, Sergeant. We can sum up this little excursion as a wild goose chase.
You didn't see her, Mr. Chadwick. She was hysterical.
Her husband's late coming in. So she panicked, that's all.
Then where is her husband? We saw him at 10:30. It's now nearly 3.
I'm probably sleeping it off somewhere. You told me he was drunk.
And the blood on her coat?
I don't know. It didn't come from here, did it?
There's a note on the table, Sergeant.
Eh? Give it here.
Let me have it, please, Constable. Thank you. Eric, worried because you're not back. I'm walking over to Mrs. Carter's in case you're there. Joan. How do we get to the Carter's place, Sergeant?
Pete Carter's house was about a quarter of an hour's walk away, perched high on the clifftop. No light showed. There was no sound. I was reminded of that old western where, just before the Indian attack, someone says, "It's quiet." And the seasoned Indian hunter says, "Too damn quiet." Yeah, well, Carter's house was too damn quiet.
No, if there's anything, George?
What?
The silence. Shouldn't be able to get near here without that dog barking its head off.
Shh. What is it?
Listen.
There's something in that bush.
Hello, boy. What have they done to you?
What is it?
Their dog, sir. It's been knifed.
Leave it. Let's get in that house.
No need to kick this one in. It's open. Hello? Pete? Sarah? Anyone up? Oh, my God.
And then the horror started. The hall looked like a slaughterhouse. Blood on the walls, the door, the carpet. I saw the blood before I saw the body. Pete Carter, slumped against the wall, his legs sprawled out in front of him. The front of his jacket was sodden with blood. The head was almost severed.
Been dead at least 3 hours, possibly a little longer. Multiple stab wounds to the chest, stomach, neck.
Weapon?
Long bladed knife, single edge, coming to a point, a butcher's knife or a carving knife.
This is on the floor, Sergeant.
Address me, Constable, not the Sergeant. And don't touch anything. Leave it where it is and draw my attention to it. What is it?
Mrs. Farrow's handbag. She must have dropped it.
Poor cow. She comes here looking for her husband, pushes open the front door and comes face to face with that. Can't we cover him up, Doctor?
Not yet.
I was talking to him barely 4 hours ago.
Where's his wife? Where's his friend? Search the house, Sergeant. The garden, the outbuildings, everywhere.
There was no one else in the house. Every door and every window was tightly locked. No sign of forced entry. Sarah Carter was a nervous woman, but she must have let the killer in the house through the front door. We finished in the kitchen. It was a mess. Table on its side, chairs knocked over, smashed crockery. We'd seen all this before. And then Clark called from the garden.
Over here, the well! She's down there! Mrs. Carter! If someone could lower me down...
The beam of his torch dropped into the darkness and reflected back something under the water. Something white. A woman's face.
Steady. Steady. All right. I got her. Oh, don't just stand there, Beaumont. Help me.
Right. Is there any point in trying artificial respiration, Doctor?
No, Constable. No point at all. Would someone give me some light? Thank you.
I've known the Carters for over 20 years. Sarah. Anyone in trouble, just ask Sarah. She'd help them. When Phyllis was sick, how did she die, Doctor?
No obvious wounds. Every indication that she drowned. Hello? What's this on her forehead? It's a bruise.
We might have knocked her head when we were winching her up.
No, this is a bruise. We don't bruise after death.
Looks as if someone hit her.
She could have banged her head as she fell.
Hell, how could she fall with that brick wall in the way? No, Doc, she was hit and chucked down.
No, she jumped in herself.
Jumped? You mean suicide?
No. No. Ortiz was so anxious to escape his pursuer, he plunged through thorn thickets that tore out his eye. Harry Day ran on bare, bleeding feet until his heart gave out. And Sarah held herself down a well.
Get away from the killer. You're making him out to be some kind of monster.
Perhaps.
And yet she opened the door to let him in.
I don't know. It's pointless speculating. We haven't enough facts. I'll be able to tell more when I've carried out the post-mortem.
Sergeant?
Sir?
Bring the doctor. I think I've found Farrow.
Chadwick was standing by the open door of a wooden shed. As we hurried over, the sergeant's torch picked out drops of something red on the grass. A trail leading from the front of the house to the shed.
Inside. Forgive me, I feel rather sick.
The body of Eric Farrow lay face down in a pool of his own blood. There was a gaping wound in his neck and a small blood-stained stab mark in his back. A strange streak of red discolored his hair.
Has anyone got a cigarette?
Here.
I think I'd be used to death by now. Three of them.
Let's get on with it, shall we, Doctor?
Yes. Yes, of course. What's the matter with your hand?
Hmm? No, I tore it on a nail, nothing serious. It is Eric Farrow, I presume.
Yes.
How long has he been dead?
About an hour and a half.
He was stabbed after the others?
No, he was stabbed about the same time as Carter. He just took longer to die.
Huh.
Well, I presume he found Carter's body. He was bending over it when the killer plunged the knife into his neck. He fell to the ground and the killer drove the knife deep into his back, leaning his full weight on it to drive it home.
Right, yeah.
The fellow wasn't dead, only dying. He crawled from the house over to this shed, the knife still in his back.
That would explain it.
When he reached the shed, he collapsed. When he was dead, the killer returned. All he had to do was follow the trail of blood. He retrieved the knife and departed.
You're painting a very vivid picture, Doctor. Almost as if you were here when it happened.
I'm a pathologist, Mr. Chadwick, trained to use my eyes. The blood has come from the neck wound, but that didn't kill him. The knife in his back did that.
How do you know Farrow was dead when the killer removed the knife?
If he was still alive, blood would have poured from that wound when the blade came out, but it didn't, so he was dead. Examine the wound. See how tightly the blade must have fitted.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll take your word for it. What's that streak of red on the hair? Head injury?
No. It would seem that our killer is rather fastidious. When he removed the knife, there was blood on the blade, so he carefully wiped it clean on his victim's hair.
Mr. Chadwick, can I have a word in private, please? Outside.
Well, Sergeant?
I don't give a damn how many people go down with rabies in Norriston. These are my people. We need outside help and we want it now. I'm going to get this bastard before he butchers anyone else. Get me some more men.
Sir.
Sir!
I've already explained. I've tried. There's no chance.
We're out of our depth and we don't know what the hell we're doing and people are being killed.
I know exactly what I'm doing, Sergeant Fowler. I'm giving the orders and you are required to obey them. And never speak to me in that tone of voice again.
It is bloody hopeless, Sarge. Find a murder knife in the dark? It'll be anywhere. Flaming killer's probably still going on him anyhow, ready for his neck.
How much longer are we supposed to look, Sergeant?
Till we find it, Mr. Chadwick said. And where is he, huh? Very good at giving stupid orders, not very good at helping carry him out, is he?
He's coming, Sarge.
Any luck?
Not yet, sir.
Finish, Doctor?
There's nothing else I can do here. I'm getting back to see how Mrs. Farrow is. I tried to get through on Carter's phone, but it seems to be out of order.
We seem to be having lots of trouble with phones and boats. I'd better come with you, Doc. I suppose I'll have to break the news to poor Joan Farrow. Unless, as senior officer, you would like to do it, sir.
No, Sergeant, as you are constantly reminding me, they're your people. We'll go back in my car. How do we get the bodies to the mortuary?
I'll collect the pickup truck and come back. Clark, Beaumont, you stay here and keep watch.
They drove off, leaving us alone in that awful house, with its bloodstains and chalked outlines, and the three-sheeted bodies, hands and heads carefully bagged in polythene, laid side by side on the floor of the parlour. A cold, musty room that was only used on special occasions. We shut the door and turned the key in the lock. For some reason, it made us feel safer.
Have you noticed how loudly clocks seem to tick when there's someone dead in the house?
I've never been in a house where there's been someone dead before. I can't stand in here. Can we go outside?
Here, come on.
Better?
Yeah.
What do you think of Chadwick, then?
Don't like him, but he seems efficient.
There's something funny about him. Something's not quite right. You know he had that blood on his hand and said he caught it on a nail?
Yeah.
A bit later he wiped it clean with his handkerchief. There wasn't a scratch on his hand.
So he put his hand on some of the blood. There was enough of it about.
Fair enough. So why'd you say he caught it on a nail?
I don't know. I'm too tired to think. We're high up here, aren't we? That's Lansing Cove down there, isn't it? And there's the graveyard.
Oh, you're learning your way around fast, young Beaumont. What do you think of Sally, then?
She's bloody awful.
Now you're too fussy. You have to grab what you can get round here. Hey.
What's the matter?
I keep getting the feeling someone's watching us. You stare at that bush over there long enough, you can swear it's moving.
I kept hearing sounds coming from the room where the bodies are.
You get all sorts of strange noises at night. I'm sure that bloody bush is moving.
Well, take a look.
Yeah, all right.
Well?
Nothing there. Fine pair we are. Scaring the living daylights out of each other. Over there, what's that?
Someone's lit a bonfire.
At this time of night? Well, that's too big for a bonfire. It's Harry Day's place. It's on fire. Here, you wait here. I'll drive over and take a look.
Oh, no, no. There's no way you're leaving me here on my own. I'm coming with you.
Not too close.
Shouldn't we radio through for the fire brigade?
No point. By the time they get here from Norriston, there wouldn't be anything left. We'll have to let it burn itself out.
You know where you're going. Hey, over here.
Keep away from that door. It's ready to go up any second.
No, quick. Smell this.
Paraffin. Get soaked in it.
Which means this wasn't an accident.
You better let the sergeant know. But get back first. Clark, Sergeant Fowler, Clark, Sergeant Fowler. Come in, please.
What's that?
Oh, I don't know. Sounds like someone talking through a scrambler. Second time I picked that up today.
Could it be the troops out looking for those convicts?
Yeah, could be. Sounds a lot nearer than that, though.
Clark, Sergeant Fowler, come in, please.
Fowler, here. Come in, Clark.
I'm at Harry Day's place, Sarge. Or what's left of it. It's on fire and it stinks of paraffin.
Paraffin? Any point in calling the brigade?
None. That's the roof gone.
Murder, black magic, and no arson. What's happening to this place? Well, nothing you can do, Clarky. Better get back to young Beaumont. He shouldn't be left on his own too long at the Carter place.
He's not at the Carter place, Sarge. He's here with...
What the hell is that?
No idea. It keeps happening.
What was you saying about Beaumont? I missed it.
I said he's here, with me.
You've left the Carter place unattended? What the hell do you think you're playing at, cowboys and Indians? Get back there pronto, over and bloody well out.
I think he wants us to make a move.
Hey, what's that?
It came from that corrugated iron outhouse. There's someone in there.
Are you sure?
That's where the noise came from.
Right. We'll go in together. Whoever it is, if he's got a knife, hit first and ask questions later. Ready?
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, no, not you again.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Now, listen, Joe, it's late. I have been up since 2 o'clock. I'm irritable and nothing has gone flaming right, so I'm in no mood to be mucked about. Why did you set fire to that place?
Nothing to say.
Harrigan! So help me, Harrigan!
Police brutality.
Chadwick to Fowler. Chadwick to Fowler, come in, please.
Shut up, Joe. Bloody Chadwick, I'd forgotten all about him. Sergeant Fowler, over.
Just what sort of a cockeyed outfit do you think you're running here, Fowler? I never knew such ham-fisted incompetence.
Where are you speaking from, sir? Over. He's found out you're not at the Carter House.
I'm at the Carter House, Sergeant. Doors wide open, bodies, important evidence, all accessible, and not a police officer in sight. I want an explanation. What's that? Who are you?
Keep away from me!
That was part 3 of Outbreak of Fear by R.D. Wingfield, with Leslie Sands as Sergeant Fowler and Nick Orchard as Constable Roy Beaumont. The rest of the cast: Dave Clark, Cornelius Garrett, Chadwick, Nicholas Courtney, Dr. Lethbridge, Paul Nicholson, Pete Carter, Derek Graham, Mitchell, Conrad Phillips, Joe Hardy, John Gabriel, Eric Farrow, Malcolm Young, and Mrs. Farrow, Rosemary Siegel. The program was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller.